It's great to see all of you here. Thank you for coming out to be with us this morning. Thank you for choosing to come and worship at First Baptist. And we're especially if you're visiting with us, thank you so much for coming out this morning. Want to remind everybody just of a couple quick things. If you're a member, we're having a business meeting, a church business meeting at the conclusion of the evening service tonight. So please note that. And I've been asked to something for our teenagers are having a special activity coming up this Saturday. It's a Shoppers in Disguise. Now, how this works is we have you, if you'd like to come, and if you'd like to come help, there's a sign-up sheet back on the activity table. But they're going to meet at the new outlet mall there by the interstate, the Premium Outlet Mall, from 10 in the morning till 2. And what you do is that the teenagers come there, and they try to find you as you shop. And they win points for their team if they can find you. So the idea is to come kind of disguised. And maybe you say, well, they probably don't know who I am anyway. Well, just come as you are. It's okay. Maybe some of you need a disguise. I don't know. But it's a lot of fun, and people do all kinds of things, and you'll have a blast with it. Also, for those of you who are looking for an excuse to go shopping, this is your excuse. I'm helping the youth of the church, and I'm just going to go and walk around and shop and do things, and they'll see if they locate you. And I'm probably not doing a good job at communicating it, but you can be a big help, and it's a lot of fun. If you want to know more about it, see Pastor Bloom, and he will help you and let you know what's going on with that. So that is coming up. Also want to remind you that there's a lot of announcements in the bulletin. One is in there, just want to point out, we could use some more help with nursery. We have 12 openings. We had some people drop out of that ministry. It's in a very important ministry of the church. And so if you're a lady or a senior high girl and you want to maybe say, maybe I can help some, please see Jamie Becker. And she would be glad to talk to you about it, but we could use some help there, so please consider that. And again, a lot of things going on. Look at the bulletin, see what God would have you for you here at the church. Let's bow and begin our service with a word of prayer, if you would. Father, we do thank you so much for this opportunity to come here this morning. Father, we look forward to what you're going to do in our lives today. Father, thank you for our church and how you've blessed it, and Father, we just pray you bless these services today, this service now and again tonight at 6. That the Spirit of God would do a great work, that we would leave here changed because we came and spend time in your house here, Lord, that we can, through fellowship and by singing and music, and Father, most important, your word, that we can be impacted by that today. Father, we pray if someone's come that doesn't know for sure heaven's their home, they'd understand what Christ has done for them. He died on the cross for them and paid for their sins with his blood, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that through faith in Christ, they can have everlasting life by simply putting their trust in him as their Savior. Father, we thank you for that truth, and Father, again, we ask for your blessing now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rick. He does a great job with announcements, doesn't he? Going back, I was asked to say a word about this scavenger hunt, because we used to do it in our previous ministry every year around Christmas and in the big indoor malls. And I remember one year my own brother was a participant, and he had come to my door and rang the doorbell to get something from me. And I looked through the peephole, and I didn't even recognize him. His disguise was so good. He had some really weird tinted sunglasses, and his hair was spiked, and it was color different. I'm like, who is that? Oh, that's my brother. So it can be a lot of fun, and the teens will really enjoy it if you join them. Now the choir. Let's take our songbook, please, and turn to number 374. And can we all please stand together as we sing, Be Thou My Vision, number 374. We're going to sing only verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
number 400 next in your songbook. Turn over a few pages. Last week we sang, this is our closing song. But verse 3 is particularly meaningful given Pastor's message that it says on the third line, take my silver and my gold. Verse number 1,
take my life and let
number 497. Now we have in our songbook only one verse of the song As the Deer, but there are actually about three verses. The other two verses we'll sing on the screen. The lyrics will be there. But sing the first verse with us out of your songbook, then turn your attention to the screens.
As the
somebody a warm First Baptist welcome today.
Thank you.
Join us on that chorus again. You alone are my strength.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
I'd like to ask TR to come and pray for the offering this morning. Also pray for our missionaries, Mike and Beth Payton in Nicaragua. Also, next month begins our missions month. We'll focus on missions and our responsibility God's given to us to try to reach the world for Christ. And so I'll ask TR to pray for that also. And the Lord bless the preaching and the message this morning too, please.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity just to join together in your house, come together as a body of believers to hear your word preached. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here, and we just ask that you would just move about us in a way that would work in our lives, that we would hear something today that would just stir in us an opportunity or an encouragement, that we would just go out and tell others about the good news of the gospel and share your love for all the world. We thank you for all the missionaries that we support that are doing just that in the different areas of the world that they serve. We thank you for the Paytons in Nicaragua, and we just ask that you would continue to bless their ministry, keep them safe, encourage them, and help them as they further the gospel in that area of the world. We just thank you for this offering that you're so graciously giving us, that we can give back to you a portion that you blessed us with, that we can support missions not only around the world, but also here in Land O'Lakes. We just ask you to bless the gift and the giver now, and bless the remaining part of this service. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you.
for that, ladies. If you have your Bibles, if you can, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 is what we're going to look at this morning. If you need a Bible and you don't have one with you, there's one in the pew in front of you. It's on page 673. Page 673. And once you find Proverbs chapter 3, if you're physically able, if you can, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to read it one time, and then we're going to all read it together. All right, so there's two verses, and it's Proverbs chapter 3, and it's verses 9 through 10. It says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And maybe read that as a congregation. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your house and worship you, Lord. Thank you so much for Pastor and Lord, just the message that you have laid on his heart. I pray that you would help us to soften our hearts and that we may apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for this free gift of salvation. Lord, we love you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
The song this morning is Deep River, and there's a wonderful legacy of rich spiritual material in our country. Material that was developed in a time where, in a place where physical hardship and emotional anguish were a way of life for people in this country that were in bondage. But God placed into their hearts and onto their lips a wonderful song and songs. So powerful were the songs that their words offered hope themselves. Even though these spirituals that we sing today were first sung by individuals whose names we will never know, they are rich in meaning and imagery. The imagery this morning in this song, Deep River, is that crossing over the Jordan River into the promised land, or heaven is the imagery of that. And then it uses the phrase, I want to cross over into campground, which was our permanent dwelling, and it was a new place, the new place being heaven. And then lastly, it offers the imagery of the gospel feast. Don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace? The imagery of that is that gospel feast are those who have believed the gospel someday will join together in a wonderful time of reunion and celebration around the Savior. Amen. The music of Moses Hogan, arranged by Moses Hogan, rather, Deep River.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pastor Troy, and the young ladies for the special music there. Today we'll continue our study on stewardship. May we be steadfast in our stewardship. Stewardship is something I preach on about once a year, and stewardship covers many things, but also covers about honoring God with our finances. So if you're visiting with us today, please don't think I come to this church, he preaches on money all the time. I do it about once a year. In fact, there was one person who said, Pastor, every time I come to church, you preach on money. I said, you come only once a year, don't you? But as a pastor, it's my job to preach the whole counsel of God, and God's word has much to say about honoring God with our finances. And so what a great verse we're looking at. Before I do that, someone said there are many nerves in the human body, but perhaps the most sensitive nerve is the one that goes from the head to the pocketbook. And how true that is. Some people get very antsy like that. But my desire as a pastor, the guy, you will receive all of God's blessings. And God has a lot to say about his blessing when it concerning about our giving. A verse right there we looked at, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And goes on to say, thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. But I want you to understand something this morning. Stewardship is not about matter of money. It's a question of trust. Let me say that again. Stewardship is not a matter of money. It's a question of trust. Can God trust me, and can I trust God? Last week we talked about what is a steward. We saw from Scripture that a steward is a manager and overseer of somebody else's property. As believers, we're all stewards of God's property. We saw the foundational truths of Scripture, of stewardship. The Bible says, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have comes from God. Every promotion or any recognition I receive in life came from God. And even the very intellect and the abilities I have to get promotion or gain money all came from God. It's all God's. And we approach money with that attitude, it makes things so much easier. That everything I have is God's. And so the issue of stewardship is not about money. It's about trust. Can God trust me, and can I trust God? So first of all, I'd look at some items that God's entrusted to us. There are four of them. The first one many of you are familiar with. The first item God's entrusted to us as believers is the gospel truth. The gospel truth. Many of you know this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. God, for those of us that know Christ as Savior, God has committed the greatest news in all the world, the good news of Jesus Christ, to you. He wants you to be his spokesman, his mouthpiece, to share with others the good news of the gospel. He said he's put it in our trust. Are you trustworthy? It's committed to our trust. Number two, the second thing committed our trust is our time. Our time. Go with me now, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians 5, verse 15, page 1254. The older I get, the faster time goes. When you're younger, it seems like we're going to be around forever. But as you get older, you realize, boy, my life is almost gone. And so time is an item God's entrusted to us to use for his honor and glory. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 talks about time here. Ephesians 5, verse 15. If I sound a little funny, because I feel a little funny, I have a little congestion, but I'm getting better. My voice sounds a little raspy, so if you bear with me, hope it doesn't interfere with understanding what I want to share with you. Ephesians 5, verse 15, look at it with me, please. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Interesting, Paul begins speaking to Christians. He tells us that we walk circumspectly. The greatest illustration of what that means, it means walk as though you've got eyes all around your head, that you're looking and seeing every opportunity that you might serve the Lord. It said, walk circumspectly, not as fools. That's the idea. I appreciate Mr. Herbert and his driving instruction. Basically, he used this verse in driving. When you drive, you got to constantly look around. The greatest danger in driving is someone with tunnel vision. He's only looking forward. And especially coming to an intersection, you need to look everywhere. The idea was, as a Christian, we need to look everywhere, walk circumspectly. Then it goes on to say, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. The word redeem has the idea to buy or purchase. The idea is we need to buy up every opportunity we have to serve the Lord. Take advantage of all the time you can to serve the Lord, because one day we'll stand before him and give an account. So he says, walk circumspectly, redeem the time, because the days are evil. He goes on to say, there wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has a will for your life. And it's important for you as his steward, as his child, to find out what God's will for your life is. In other words, it'd be very unwise for us to go through life without ever considering the will of God and how we should use our time. Your time is limited. We may not have tomorrow. You may have many years. I don't know. Only God knows. But whatever your time you have, use it for God. Take advantage of every time you have to serve the Lord. Your time has been entrusted to you. Number three, the third item. We have the gospel truth, our time. Number three, our talents. Our talents means our gifts and our abilities. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. Talks about how we are stewards of the gifts that God has given to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, please. Be page 1315 if you're using a church Bible. I do want to encourage, if you came today, that you'd borrow a Bible there in front of you, that you can see what I'm sharing with you is from the Word of God. And I'll call the page numbers for those verses we turn to. Page 1315, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, please. It says, as every man, each one of us, hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good, what? Stewards of the manifold grace of God. Basically, the Bible tells us we all have talents. We all have abilities we have physically. I enjoyed so much the special music today of these young ladies, the talent they have. I don't have that talent, but they do. Some of us have talents. Some of us have talents other than others. But whatever talents we got, we should use for the Lord. But here it talks about a gift. A gift is talking about a spiritual gift that God gave you when you were saved. Every child of God has a spiritual gift. It's a capacity to serve the Lord in a very effective way. It talks about here that every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. So as a steward of the possessions I have, I'm talking about of the gifts and the ability to have, I am to use them for God's glory. So we're talking about items entrusted to us. Number one, the gospel truth. Number two, time. Number three, talents. And number four, treasure, our treasure. Talk about material possessions, which should include our finances. We We saw in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance. Substance means your material possessions. And with the first fruits of all thy increase. Now please listen. No doubt this would include money. Money is just a small part of our stewardship. However, the Bible focuses a large amount of attention on it. Listen to this, please. Of the 38 parables Christ spoke, 17 talk about money. One out of every 10 verses of the Gospels is talking about money or possessions. There are 272 verses on believing or faith. There's 371 verses on prayer. There's 714 verses on love or loving. There's 2,172 verses on money. Why would God talk so much about money? Please listen. The reason the Bible talks so much about money because it competes with God for our affection. It competes with God for our affection. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6, page 1002. Our material possessions, our money, our riches, our treasures will compete with God for our affection. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, but how the world, the things of this world, wants our affection. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it talks about treasure. Matthew 6, 19, page 1002. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. In other words, as I serve the Lord, God stores up treasures, rewards for me in heaven. Then he goes on to say, why should we do that? He says in the next verse, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Interesting. Some say, dedicate the heart and the money will follow. God says there's the opposite. Dedicate your treasure and your heart will follow. He didn't say where your heart is, there will your treasure be. He said where your treasure is, there your heart be. So it's important to understand that. What we do with our money indicates who or what is most important to us. It also indicates who or what is in control of our lives, our money or Jesus Christ. Look in verse 24, please. Chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he hate the one or love the other, or else he hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. What is mammon? Mammon refers to earthly wealth, treasure, or riches. In fact, the word itself is a Syriac word. It was a name given to an idol worshipped as the god of riches. It is not known that the Jews ever formally worshipped the idol, but they used the word mammon to denote wealth. The meaning is you cannot serve the true God and at the same time be supremely engaged in obtaining the riches of this world. The one will interfere with the other. Here are some notes from what is called the Life Application Bible. Please listen to this. Jesus says we can have only one master. We live in a materialistic society where many people serve money. They spend all their lives collecting and storing it, only to die and leave it behind. The desire for money and what they can buy far outweighs their commitment to God and spiritual matters. Whatever you store up, you will spend much of your time and energy thinking about. Can you honestly say that God and not money is your master? One test is to ask yourself, which occupies most of your thoughts and time and efforts. There you'll find your heart. Matthew Henry says this about in his commentary about God and mammon. He said, we cannot love both and hold to both. We cannot hold to both in attendance, trust, and dependence, for they are contrary one to another. He goes on to say, God says, my son, give me thy heart. Mammon says, no, give it to me. God says, be content with such things you have. Mammon says, grasp all the money that I can, by fair means or by foul means. God says, defraud not, neither lie, be honest with, and just with all thy dealings. Mammon says, cheat thy own father, if thou can gain by it. God says, be charitable. Mammon says, keep all you got. God says, be anxious and worry about nothing. Mammon says, worry for everything. God says, keep holy the Sabbath day. Mammon says, make use of that day as well as all others to make all the money that you can. Thus inconsistent are the commands of God and Mammon, that you cannot serve both. Let us not then halt between the two. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember in the book of Joshua, whether the gods of your fathers have served, or the gods in whose land you dwell. But Joshua said, but for as me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. So there's two masters. So first of all, God says you're a steward. He's entrusted to you four things: the gospel truth, your time, your talent, and your treasure. That's what I trust you. Now the question is, can God trust me? Can God trust me? The truth. Stewardship begins with me faithfully honoring God with my substance. Let me say that again. Stewardship begins with me faithfully honoring God with my substance. A verse we saw last week. What does God require of me as a steward? More was required in stewards than a man be found what? Faithful. So stewardship begins with me faithfully honoring God with my time, my talent, and my treasure. Here's the test. The test, the way I show God my trustworthiness, is by how I manage what he's given to me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16, please. Luke 16, page 1098. Luke 16, everybody turn there, please. The way that I can show that God can trust me is by how I manage what he's given to me. Do I use it for myself and my own pleasures, or do I use it for to honor and glorify God? Luke 16, verse 10, please. Luke 16, 10. This is in the midst of a parable on stewardship. Look what Christ said here. Luke 16, 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in the much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. So often I hear people say, Pastor, you know, I would love to give to the church or give to God. If God would give me more money, I would do that. No, you would not. If you're not faithful in the little you have, you won't be faithful if you got more. I didn't say that, God said. So I can show God he can trust me with the more if I'm faithful with the little. If I'm not faithful with what God has given me, why should he give me more? That's the test. Now the trust. If God cannot trust me with a physical treasure, he will not commit to me spiritual treasure. Look in verse 11, please. Luke 16, 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about your material possessions, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now the question is, what is the true riches? God said, if I'm not faithful in the physical stuff he committed to me, he said he will not commit to me the true riches. Interesting. As I was preparing this message, I was going through many commentaries. Many commentaries, the true riches talk about rewards in heaven. Others said it was that which God commits to you during his millennial kingdom on the earth. But I believe, according to the context here, the true riches talks about biblical or spiritual truth. He said, who shall commit to your trust true riches? Now, the rewards in heaven are not committed to your trust or rewards given to you. Now, talking about something here on this earth. If I'm not faithful to God with the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to your trust true riches? And I believe it's talking about the biblical truths of God's word. I can show God I am trustworthy of any truth he gives to me in his word, that I use it for his own glory, by how I use my possessions. In other words, Ephesians 3:8 says this, unto me, whom am the less of the least of the saints, is the grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, God said there's riches, there's treasures, wisdom, and knowledge we have found in God's Word. And basically, this is it. God gives to us what He knows will flow through us. Let me say that again. God gives to us what He knows will flow through us, whether physical or spiritual. God will not impart to you deep truths of His Word if He knows that you won't use it for His own glory and share it with others. So I can show God I can be trustworthy with the deep treasures and riches of His Word by how I handle my material possessions. If you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So the question is, remember that stewardship is not a matter of money, it's a question of trust. Can God trust me? Next. Can I trust God? Can I trust God? The truth is, stewardship is trusting God to take care of me when I honor Him with my substance. Remember our verse we began with? It says Proverbs 3:9. Now this verse is written to the Israel, to Jew, but there's a principle for all of us today. To His people, the Jewish nation, He says, honor me, honor the Lord with thy substance. How about your material possessions? And with the first fruits of thy increase. It talks about the crops. As they planned the crops, the first harvest belonged to God. Before they took any of the food for themselves, they were to give God His portion, the tithe. And by doing so, so shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And as it goes on, the presses burst out with new wine. Basically, stewardship. When I honor God with my finances and my possessions, I am trusting Him to do what He promised. Stewardship is trusting God to take care of me when I honor Him. That's the truth. Here's the test. The only way to measure God's trustworthiness is to step out on faith and test Him. Throughout the Bible, it talks about God testing His people. But only one time in the Bible are we told to test God, and it's with our finances. Go with me now to the book of Malachi, please. Malachi. Again, this is not written to the church, it's written to Israel, but there's a principle for us here. All Scripture is not written to us, but all Scripture is written for us. And there's a principle here that we need to understand today. Here, God calls upon His people to put Him to the test. Malachi 3:10, page 982. Malachi is the last book of your Old Testament, right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, please. Look what He tells His people to do. Quite amazing here. Remember, the only way we can measure God's trustworthiness is step out on faith and test Him. Here, He told His people to do that. Chapter 3, verse 10. God says, bring ye all the tithes, talking about the 10%, the first fruits of your substance, into the storehouse, talking about the temple, that there may be meat in my house. And notice here, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Basically, the principle is this. God says, I'll take care of you if you honor me. If you don't believe it, test me. Test me. Many of you have, and you found them faithful. Amen? Some of you have not. I spoke with our treasurer. Can I back a minute? I don't know who gives, who does not give in our church. I don't want to know, lest I play favorites. I do know the pastors give, they're required to. I know the deacons give, they're required to hold that office. But if you give or don't give, I don't know. But the treasurer says 60% of our people give regularly, 40% do not. So I want to share with you those that do not. Why? Can't you trust God? If God said He would take care of you if you honor Him, can't you trust Him? It's a matter of trust. And the trust is when I step out on faith, by giving Him a portion of my finances, I'm trusting God to do what He promised. God promises He'll take care of me if I step out on faith and honor Him with my substance. Let me give you some principles. Come on, look, turn to me. Go to Proverbs, please. Proverbs, please. We saw God told Israel to put him to the test and see whether he would honor his word. Proverbs 11, page 680, Proverbs 11. Here's the principles we can rely upon when we step out on faith and honor him with our substance. Two of them in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 to begin with. Look in verse 24. Here's a principle here. It says, there is that that scattereth, and yet what? Increaseth. And there's that withholdeth more than meat and tendeth to what? The principle is, though many Christians take their possession and they give it, share it with others. They scatter it. And the result is they what? Increase. There's others that hoard it, use it for themselves, and they would tend to poverty. He goes on to say, the liberal soul shall be made what? The word liberal soul means who gives liberally. Shall be made fat. And that isn't talking about physically, okay? Talking about God's blessings upon you. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Look in chapter 22, please. These are principles we can rely upon as we honor God and give to him. He will take care of us. Proverbs 22, verse 9. As you found that, again, I'm talked to all of you, but that 40% of our church that doesn't honor God with their finances, this message is for you. And I'm not out to get your money. I'm out you to get God's blessing. God blesses those who give. My friend, you cannot outgive God. And the problem is many of us don't believe that. Many of us do not trust God. God clearly tells us in the Word, as we give, he'll take care of us. But some of us don't believe that because we walk by sight and not by faith. John Calvin said this, the greatest enemy of your eye, of your faith, is to tie your minds to your eyes. If you go by what you see, you get your paycheck 1 week, you look at your bills, say, you know, for me to pay my bills, I cannot give to God. Because you walk by faith, and you walk by sight and by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to what? Please God. And stewardship is me, by faith, testing God and believing what he said is true. Look here again in Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be what? Bountiful eye means a generous eye. For he giveth of his bread to the poor. So that's the principle. Let me give you some promises now. Now, most of these you know, but just a reminder, they'll be up on the screen. We'll not have time to turn to them. These are promises God gives to those who honor him with the finances. Look what he says in Luke 6, 38. It's on the screen. What's the first word? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal shall be measured to you again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Every man, according to purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Notice here, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. God says, if I purpose to give, he'll see that I have always I need, that you'll always have all sufficiency. A verse many people quote, but they take it out of context. Look in Philippians 4. I believe it's on the screen, verse 15. Paul speaking to the church of Philippi. Now ye, the Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire that the fruit may abound to your account. And he goes on to verse 19. He says, but my God shall what? Supply all your need according to riches. Now please listen. What a promise. But that promise in the context is only when you give. That's the context. They said they gave, but Paul said, my God can supply all your need. If you don't honor God with your substance, you can't expect him to honor you. So again, stewardship is not a matter of money. It's a question of trust. Can God trust me? And can you trust God? Many of you do. Evidently, some of you do not. I want to encourage you to put God to the test and see if he is a person of his word. My friend, one thing God cannot do, God cannot lie. And what he says he'll do, he will do. Another verse. Go now to Hebrews. Turn to the Bible's plate, Hebrews. Page 1301. We're just about done here. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Near the back of your Bible. A verse I quoted a portion of a few minutes ago. Hebrews 11:6. Because remember, giving, honoring God is a matter of faith. Trusting God to do what he said he would do. Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith is what? It says, chances are you won't please God. Does it say that? Might not. It says, it's impossible. I cannot please God with my life without faith. And one way we can display faith, or may I use the word profess our faith, is by our honoring God through giving. By trusting him to take care of us when we do so. But look down to verse 11, please. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? In other words, God did something supernatural in the life of Sarah because she judged him faithful who had what? That's the issue of giving. Do you judge God faithful who had promise? My friend, he is faithful. Now go to chapter 10, verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 20. This verse and one more, and we will close this morning. Chapter 10, verse 23. I'd like to read the first part of the verse. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Look at me, please. You realize that when we give to God, it's a profession of our faith. Every Sunday morning when the ushers pass the plate, we will put them in. That's a profession of our faith. We give that by faith, believing God will take care of us. And what does he say? Let us hold fast. Talking about being steadfast, firm. Let us hold fast in a profession of faith and not what? Wavering. Why? Read this verse. For he is faithful that promised. My friend, we ought to give and honor God faithfully because he's faithful. And we cannot outgive God. Someone says, why do you give, this person, tolerant person, why do you give so much? Like you just give loads of it. He says, I give shovelful, but God has a bigger shovel than I do. How true that is. And so I just want to encourage you. Look at me, please, wrap it up. In fact, go to John 3 and we'll close with this. John 3. Page 1117, and this will be our last place we'll turn to, and we'll wrap it up. John chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament. You find it, please. We'll talk about steadfast and stewardship. Talk about stewardship. Stewardship is being a manager or overseer of God's property. There are four things God's entrusted to you, and he's trusting you with it. The first one is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two is your time. The time he gives you, use it for his honor and glory. Number three is your talent. Number four is your treasure. We talked about, first of all, that stewardship is not a matter of money. It's a question of trust. Can God trust me? With what he gives me, can he trust me to use it as he dictates in his word? He's the master or the possession. I'm under authority. Will I do with what he gives me according to his word? It's a matter of trust. Can God trust me? And more important, can you trust God? Can you trust God enough to give faithfully? When you cannot see how you're going to meet ends meet, I'm going to trust God to take care of me. Because my God should supply all my need. Those are promises. Now, interesting. We can trust God for something we have not seen. But we cannot trust something we do see. What is it that you have not seen you trust God for? Heaven. You ever seen heaven before? The Bible said heaven is a place where the streets are gold. The walls are jasper. The only way you can get there is by trust. You can trust him for that. Why can't you trust him for something you can see? In fact, the whole issue of salvation is a matter of trust. The word believe means trust. Over 98 times in the Gospel of John, the sole condition for heaven, for salvation, is believe. Trust. And I'll show you a couple, we'll close. John 3, verse 15. John 3:15. Look what he says. And I want to interject the word trust where the word believe is. That's what it means. The word believe means to trust in, rely upon. John 3:15. Whosoever trusteth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever trusteth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18. He that trusteth on him is not condemned, but he that trusteth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not what? Trusted, believed, name of the begotten Son of God. Verse 36, our last verse. He that trusteth, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that trusteth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So the whole issue of going to heaven is my trust depends upon Christ. Close your Bibles, please. So the Christian life, my walk with God, begins with trust. Trusting Christ to save me. If you're here today and you never did that before, please listen as we close. Heaven is a real place. It's a wonderful place where we can spend eternity with God. And heaven is a gift that God gives freely to those who trust him. What do we trust him for, Pastor? First of all, you understand, we're all sinners. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Because you and I have sinned, we've earned something from a holy God. And that is death. The penalty of your sin is death. Because you've sinned against God, you've earned his judgment. And the Bible says you cannot pay the penalty. In other words, your works, your good deeds will not pay it. Many people believe if I'm good enough, I'll go to heaven. If there's nothing wrong with good works, they will not pay the penalty. Your works cannot save you. So we're all sinners. We all owe penalty, and we cannot save ourselves. But the good news is this. God loves you in spite of your sin. And he sent his son to pay the penalty for you. He died on the cross. He was buried and rose again. And God offers you eternal life, free, at the expense of his son. Through the death of Christ on the cross and the payment he made for you, you can go to heaven. What's your part? Trust, faith, and the payment Christ made for you to take you to heaven. It's not by works. It's by trust. It's trusting Christ alone. That brings us into God's family. Now, as a child of God, God blesses you, does he not? Bless you so much. Can he trust you with it? Can he trust you with that which he gives you for his honor and glory? So many of us use it for ourselves, my own pleasure, my own enjoyment. And God gets the leftovers. That's not the intent. You're a steward. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And to receive God's greatest blessing is for you to use it for his honor and his glory. Can he trust you? But the question is, can you trust him? Because when you step out in faith to do that, God says, I'll bless you. The liberal soul shall be made fat. God will take care of you. You just need to trust him. Pastor, I have a hard time. Test him. Put him to the test. You'll find him faithful. He's faithful. Are you faithful? Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, I've been speaking to those that know Christ. those of you that already put your faith, your trust in Christ as Savior. So many of you have already stepped out on faith and you've seen God provide. Every bit of this you can say amen to. You can get up and shout and give testimony how God's provided for you. But no doubt there's some here, they have not done that. They walk by sight. They cannot see physically how they can take care of their own finance and family if I honor God. My friend, God says, honor him with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. You put God first by faith, and he'll take care of you. That's his promise. And God cannot lie. I want to encourage you this morning. For those of you that do not honor God with your substance, step out in faith and try. Many of you used to, and you got away from it. And friend, why not give back and trust God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why not step out in faith and trust him and see him provide? But for those of you that never trusted Christ for salvation, the money is, lay that to the side. Substance, lay it to the side. God wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to go to heaven so bad, he paid the price for you to get there. He sent his son to pay that price. And through the death of Christ on the cross and the payment he made, you can go to heaven. Not by anything that you do, but rather what he did for you. Your part is to trust. To trust him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. To save you, to forgive you, and give eternal life. That's the first step. Trusting Christ as your Savior, and God will give you eternal life. If you have not done that before, why not do it right now? Right where you're sitting, you can talk to God and get the issue settled. You can talk to him and place your trust depends upon him. If you've never trusted Christ to be your Savior, why not talk to God and say something like this right where you're at? Just say, "Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned. I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that Jesus was punished in my place. The judgment that I deserve for my sin, Jesus took upon himself. And I believe when he died for me. He was buried. I believe he rose again. And right here today, I'm trusting Christ to be my Savior. Trusting him to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life." As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd like to know if anyone understood that this morning. Anyone here placed their trust in Christ to be their Savior? I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you anyway. But the only way I can know if anyone made that decision today to trust Christ, in one moment, I'm going to ask you, as heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you just simply to raise your hand. Raise your hand will not save you. Walking a church aisle will not save you. It's Christ that saves you when you trust him. And if you trusted Christ to be your Savior right here today, just allow me to pray for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, right where you are, just simply raise your hand to indicate you did that today. Or at all, "Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me? Or at all this morning? Here's my hand, Pastor. I trusted Christ." Father in heaven, I hope that means each one here has already made that decision. If so, that means each one here is a child of God. And Father, how you long to bless us and how you long to show yourself strong on our behalf. But many of us do not believe that. Many of us do not believe your word. Forgive us for our unbelief. Help us to seek to step out as stewards of your property and honor you with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Help us step out in faith and see you work. I pray that those that have not done that, they will purpose to do that today, to seek to have your greatest blessing in life. And simply, most of all, just out of obedience. You tell us to do this, we should do it. Help us to do so, Father. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. Let's stand together, please. Turn your hymnals to 405, Trusting Jesus. And we'll close with this hymn. I'd like to close with an invitation for anyone who may like to join our church, become part of the fellowship here. Maybe you've been coming here quite a while and you just feel like this is what the Lord will have you have your church home. If you trusted Christ as Savior and been baptized by immersion, why not come this morning and join our church if God so leads? No one comes, we'll close out of the first stanza, but make this your closing prayer and this idea of stewardship toward the Lord, trusting Jesus. You come as God leads this morning.
Simply trusting Jesus.
For a moment, please. This is Patricia Messina. Patricia trusted Christ here at our church. And she'd like to come join our church by baptism and make this church her home. She's excited about her decision and become part of our church. Most of all, trusted Christ. She was thinking about us, amen. Amen. You know, many people who trust Christ never raise their hand. Some do, but she trusted Christ here some time ago and said, I'd like to join the church and follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. And we're going to set up a time to do that. So, Patricia, we're so glad that you trusted Christ. We're glad that you become part of our fellowship here. Hope the Lord can use our church to be a blessing to you. Our master, stand at the door here. Please take time to go out the back door. I know many of you go out the side door. Nothing wrong with that. That's what they're there for. But maybe you could take time now to go welcome her in our fellowship. Rejoice with her. She trusted Christ. Heaven's her home. And she wants to make this church her home by baptism. So let's stand together, please. Brother Troy, would you close us in prayer, please? And then we'll be dismissed right after that.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with you. We're thankful for all that you've entrusted to us, Lord. Food, clothes, shelter, vehicles, houses. So many things, God, that you shower your children with. All these blessings that we have and 10,000 beside in the Christian life. Our Father, we ask that you would be able to look at our lives and say, that you trust us. You trust us with all these bountiful blessings. And that, Lord, we'll be faithful to you, giving back a portion of that which you give to us. But more than that, Lord, that we would give our lives to your kingdom and to advance your kingdom in this world. Because you love us and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.